So today I'm going to be talking about dryland organic weed management in eastern Washington. And eastern Washington is kind of a unique, well, perhaps not unique environment, but certainly unique in my experience. I've only been there a little over 4 years. It's a Mediterranean climate, and the rainfall patterns are, we get all of our moisture in the winter and in spring. And as a consequence, most of our cropping systems are based on winter crops, and winter wheat in particular. We grow 2.5 million acres of winter wheat. And the topography is extreme. I hope many of you are familiar with the Palouse. We have quite steep hills that growers work. Because of the nature of the soil, it's a wind-deposited loess. We have very high-value wheat cropping systems. In Whitman County, where this study is located, this is a picture of the study here, dryland wheat yields typically exceed 100 bushels an acre, some of the highest dryland wheat yields in the world. So the downside is that it presents a particularly challenging environment. Because of the value of the crop, 98% of our wheat acreage is treated with herbicides, which is quite a bit more than the central Great Plain wheat acreage. So the other 2% are either not of value enough to justify a herbicide application, or are their growers attempting to grow organic wheat, and we're trying to facilitate that transition. The original project was spearheaded by Robert Gallagher, my predecessor. He's moved on to Penn State now. The original experiment consisted of nine rotation experiments, followed up by 2 years of a monocrop of wheat, either hard red spring wheat or soft white winter wheat. And I'm not going to belabor this. Dr. Gallagher was able to publish this just recently. But as a result of these early experiments, we've learned a lot and incorporated that into the next generation, which is kind of what I'm going to address here. The main thing we've learned is if you have a disaster, if weeds get out of control, it's better to just go ahead and take it out and not allow the weed seed, the weeds to go to seed. And that's kind of been a difficult thing to overcome. The original perception was that grain had some value. We needed to take it to yield no matter what. And the reality is you just need to find an alternative value or alternative market for that biomass. And in our case, there's a pretty significant alternative market in the form of organic feed. We don't have a lot of it, and there's a real demand because of organic dairy. So when we've got a green manure, winter wheat green manure rotation, you can see here, when we went back with a wheat monocrop, quite clean of weeds. If we allowed that weed seed to go to weeds to go to seed, in this case, it's wild oat. You know, the wild oat was dominating the plots even in the fourth and fifth years. When you look at that in terms of biomass, in eastern Washington, we're pretty biomass limited because of the rainfall, particularly for spring crops. We can produce perhaps 800 grams of above-ground biomass in a spring crop. And if you're growing weeds, that's less crop you're growing. And so you can, there's a very linear relationship here between the weed biomass and the actual grain yield. And as a result of that, we also had some plots that were terribly weedy, and we've designed some rotations to address those. And then we had some pretty clean plots that really kind of don't really need to be mentioned, but they're there. We're evaluating those with alfalfa. So some philosophies as a result of those first five years, and these are philosophies we've incorporated into these new rotations. And I'm going to show you these inputs, and then I'll discuss the new rotations and kind of give you a glimpse into what we're actually seeing happening. So in terms of mechanical inputs, we do use tillage. We have adopted a limited surface disturbance philosophy. We try to use implements that reduce surface disturbance. These are very steep slopes. Our farm is located, this is, 5 to 15% slopes. Growers are growing wheat now on 55 degree slopes in the Palouse, so it's a real concern. So we've tried to limit the amount of surface disturbance. And then we've also adopted the philosophy of that, if we're going to have a disaster, if weeds do get out of control, we're going to mow it or hay it off. In terms of cultural inputs, the research has come out of the upper or the northern Great Plains in Canada that indicate seeding rate has a very big impact on the competitiveness of the stand. We've incorporated that. We're using about 1.1 to 2 times the seeding rate that growers would be using in conventional crops, just adjacent to our farm site. Depending on crop, but, just increasing that seeding rate to increase the competitiveness, perhaps at the expense of crop development. We're also adopted some competitive rotations, and you know, we're actually got some satellite studies to, we're not, in many ways, you're often reinventing the wheel when you're doing this sort of thing, but you know, barley and certain varieties of wheat appear to be much more competitive than the other typical spring crops, and we're trying to incorporate that information. And then we've also, working with Dr. Murphy, identified some competitive varieties, and we've incorporated that into our new rotations. We've attempted to incorporate animal grazing, and at this point, it's one of those things. It's going to require a study of its own to figure out how to incorporate animal grazing in the Palouse, but it's certainly a possibility, particularly for perennial weeds. So our inputs. This is a undercutter. It's a called a sweep as well. It's a fairly old implement. We see a lot of use in the low rainfall zone in central Washington where they grow fallow winter wheat. They'll use this undercutter sweep to cut off any weeds that are still present after our wheat harvest or during the fallow rotation. We're using it in the high rainfall zone as kind of our primary tillage implement. We use this to kill any volunteer crop or weeds that are present prior to planting. It also, we've got a coulter out in front, and this does provide some amount of soil disturbance, although if you do it at the right time, you minimize that. When you've got a volunteer stand like this, it can be difficult. The efficacy can be troublesome, but you can see the concept here. It's almost like a sod cutter in this kind of environment. You make the pass, and you want to make the pass when there's not enough moisture for these plants to re-root. We've also incorporated a rotary harrow. This is an old implement by name. This is a prototype that Dr. Gallagher and Dennis Pittman, our technician on this project, developed. The traditional rotary harrow just had two banks. This one has five to adapt to those slopes that we run it on. This minimizes clumping of the crop residue. And you get something like this. If you've got a good winter wheat residue, you can see a pretty good cover. Again, our target is to stay in that conservation mandate of 30% cover or better for residue with a couple of passes, and we get pretty good weed control too as well out of this implement just before planting. And our primary mechanical input in crop is the very old device, the rotary hoe. This is a pretty advanced rotary hoe, though. It's articulated, spring-loaded. You make the pass at about 10 to 12 miles an hour, and it's very good for very small broadleaf weeds, you know, at most one leaf. Not very good on grasses, but broadleaf weeds are particularly troublesome. We can run this even in a vining pea. As you imagine, at 10 or 12 miles an hour, it makes up quite a rooster tail. But in general, you know, when I compare this to a herbicide, I would say 50 to 70% control compared to, you know, something north of that with a herbicide. Our cultural inputs, you know, manure has been one of the things we learned in the early, those just in some satellite studies was that we have a poultry or a bird operation adjacent to the farm site. We've incorporated that by using the chicken manure. Manure, you know, fertility, you can't beat it. You've got a when you get good stand and a good healthy stand coming out of spring, it's very competitive with weeds, and you can see that quite clearly here. This is a winter wheat crop. Manure on your right and no manure on the left. The stand vigor is pretty stunning. Some lessons on alfalfa. Stand establishment in alfalfa is critical. This is a two-year alfalfa stand that looks terrible. If we had a better establishment, alfalfa is our most competitive crop, and it typically would outcompete the weeds, usually by the end of the second year, and certainly by the third year we expect to see it. But in this instance, we had one bad year, one bad stand establishment, and we're really suffering from it. So just to finish up with a few lessons, this is just an excerpt of our five-year plan. This is the last 3 years of our new rotations. And really, I wanted to focus in on the weed control rotations themselves. You can see here our last crops included a winter pea hay and a winter pea green manure, and then a hard red spring wheat, and then winter wheat with and without manure, and then triticale with manure. And you can see that the crop biomass in terms of for our winter crops is considerable and much greater than our spring crop. If you add a little bit of manure, you definitely can see an increase in crop biomass. The amazing thing is you know, winter peas, we just can't grow winter peas for yield, unfortunately. There's just too much weed competition. You can see the weed biomass is equal to the pea biomass, and that's not a good thing. So we're using that as a hay crop. We're using it to generate some green manure, winter peas, even though it's a winter crop, we're not seeing much use of, for a yield crop anyway. And then just the other observation, we've noticed that you add a little bit of manure and you get a little bit of you get good stand establishment, you can get a significantly greater competitive crop out of your winter wheat, and particularly out of triticale. Triticale is nearly as competitive as spring barley. And just to make note of the alfalfa, I wanted to make sure everyone kind of saw this. So we've got several systems that include alfalfa. We're in our third year. The 06 stand was the bad one, and you can see that, by our third year, this is just a terrible crop biomass yield for alfalfa. This is the entire season added together. We've still got a significant amount of weed biomass in those plots, and you can see here just a good stand establishment and the effect. This is a second year alfalfa stand, and the biomass is significantly greater there. We expect the weed biomass to continue to decline in this third year, and we were successful this third year. In this first year stand and establishment, those look pretty good too. So some take-home messages in general. We grow winter crops. They produce a lot more biomass. They're a lot more competitive. We get a lot more above ground biomass out of them, and in general that equals lower weed biomass and ultimately lower seed propagules. Increasing the fertility, integrating that manure into the rotations has been a huge benefit. That also tends to generate a more above-ground biomass and increase the competitiveness of the crops. And we haven't seen that the manure was giving the weed spectrum we're dealing with, that would be prickly lettuce, Mayweed chamomile, Canada thistle, and so what have you, any kind of competitive advantage. And then if it's a spring crop, we've totally stopped growing pulses in the spring. They're just not competitive enough. There's not enough above ground biomass being generated. It's better to go ahead and grow the wheat or perhaps a barley and save those green manure rotations, that pea eventually becomes because of weed infestations. Those are better grown as winter crops. And just kind of a pretty basic summary. Stand establishment and alfalfa is critical for the long-term success in that kind of rotation. Just to acknowledge a few funding sources, we had it's been quite a long journey to get USDA Organic OERI grant to fund this research. This is just a very small component. I hope everyone was able to visit a Christy Ott's poster for the fertility component, and then we've also got a substantial extension effort, but we are also able to get funds from several other entities to keep these large rotations going. Be happy to try and answer any questions. Okay,
thank you, Ian.
Yes, sir.
Are you incorporating any of the alfalfa prior to grains?
So the question was, were you incorporating any alfalfa prior to planting the grains? We haven't used that as a pulse. We're relying on the alfalfa grown over 3 years to deposit nutrients in that way, rather than incorporating the residue itself. We're haying the alfalfa off every year to get value out of that.
Is it going to just continue on alfalfa?
No, it'll just be 3 years, and then we're going to attempt to grow winter wheat after that.
So then take your sweep on that.
Oh, yeah, of course. When we remove the alfalfa, that's...
Incorporate the first cutting of that spring instead of removing it.
That's an interesting idea.
Incorporate
it, and instead of taking it out in the fall. See, our issue is we are so wet in the spring when we seldom have the opportunity to take it out. So the alfalfa will re-root, so we have to remove it in the fall. Sorry, that's an important point. Yeah.
Question: you said you are looking at growing green manure crops over the winter. That's what you said, right?
Your that's correct.
Over the winter, but then also most of your actual crops are over the winter. So does that mean that you're essentially losing that year of production, or
No, yeah, we do lose that year of production. So, yeah, so just so everyone can hear that, she's asking whether or not, because we're using a green manure rotation, if we actually lose that year of production, and we do. A green manure crop rotation is, we've essentially lost that year. That it's better to, when we work out the economics of it, to call it hay and actually hay it off, although we're losing some of the value, because it, that hay does have some value. Yeah, that's the way the typical rotation would go.
Thanks again.
Sorry for the last question.
Yeah.